Like, say good evening. We're going to go ahead and get started. Remember, we've been talking about Abraham. And we brought out how Abraham was called out of the Ur of Chaldees in Genesis chapter 12. Really, when we consider that great promise, everything goes back to that promise. Promise that God made to Abraham, and the Apostle Paul, he would tell us in Galatians 3, in verse number 8, that God actually preached the gospel to Abraham. So actually, the seed of the word was told to Abraham, that through his seed, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. It was going to be that seed that will save mankind from their sins. Galatians 3 and verse number 8 in scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen, that's the Gentile, through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. And remember on Sunday, we talked about how the Jew and the Gentile was going to be saved through Abraham. And how the Gentiles was going to be saved through Abraham because Abraham was justified before circumcision. And how the Jews was going to be saved through Abraham because Abraham was circumcised, thus the covenant. And we'll have more to say about that here in a few minutes. And God, being a God of covenant, a God of agreement, if you will, and when an individual enters into a covenant with God, God always keeps his part of the covenant. And the reason why is because God cannot lie. Titus chapter 1 and verse number 2, Hebrews 6 verse 18, 1 Samuel 15 verse 29. God is not a man that he should repent, or son of man. So when we consider this great God and this great covenant that he made with Abraham, the focal point, no doubt, is on Abraham, as we have been talking. But we also see that the focal point will transition to Isaac. Remember, Sarah was also told that she was going to be having a son. Old age, well past childbearing age, as a matter of fact. If you will, let's visit some of these passages real quick. I want us to take notice of Genesis chapter 15, I believe it is. Come on in. We understand, according to the covenant that God was going to be making with Abram in Genesis chapter 15. Notice verse number 6. There the Bible says, he believed in the Lord and he accounted it to him for righteousness. Remember, it was at this particular time that Abram was telling God that Eleazar of Damascus, being an heir in his own house, since he didn't have an offspring, well, the seed must be coming through him. God said, no, Sarah will be the one that's going to be having this son, this child. You are going to be the father. We see this in chapter 17. If you turn to chapter 17, verse number 17 through verse number 19. Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? And shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child? And Abraham said to God, oh, that Ishmael might live before you. Then God said, no. Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him for everlasting covenant, and with his descendants after him. Now, it's a very powerful passage. And the reason why is because, number one, the promise is made to Abraham, as we know. But we know that Isaac was going to be the one that God was going to be establishing his covenant with as well. It's very important that we understand that the focal point, of course, is on Abraham, the father of faith. But we know that Isaac is going to be that one that God was going to be establishing his covenant with. And that's very important for us to know as well. Notice Genesis chapter 3. In Genesis chapter 3, we understand that Abraham, his faith is not where it needed to be. Okay, his faith wasn't where it needed to be. Keep in mind that, as we talked about on Sunday, he grew up in an idolatrous family, and he came out of that idolatrous family according to Joshua 24, the first two, three verses. So he had a ways to go. I think we need to also keep in mind that when we come out of religion that is not the Lord's church, it takes time to grow into what God wants us to be, to have that frame of thinking, that frame of thought process. And it only comes through the study and application of the Word of God. That's the only way it's going to come. So we think about Abraham at this particular time. In the first three verses, we see that his faith is there, but it's not as strong as it needs to be. And let's see why. And Abraham journeyed from there to the south, the Negev Valley, and dwelt between Kadesh and Shur, stayed in Gerar. Now, Abraham said to Sarah, his wife, "She is my sister." And Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. But God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said to him, "Indeed, you are a dead man because of the woman whom you have taken, for she is a man's wife." Let's ask a question. Why did Abraham fear in telling Abimelech that she's my wife? Why did he just go with half of the equation? Anyone?
He probably would have killed him to have his wife.
Well, yes. So, I mean, he knew this, but didn't God make him a promise? Didn't God tell him that through your seed, all the nations of the earth will be blessed? Question. Why did he doubt? Well, we've been through that before, right? I mean, we have Sarah, and now you bring Hagar into the mix. Helping God. I mean, God said that Sarah is going to be the one that's going to bear you a son. All right, we just read that. So why is it that he gets to Abimelech and now he's ready to say, she's my sister? Well, he knew that she was his wife. Well, he was telling half the truth. Here's the point I want us to make, that even though we know that from hindsight, Abraham was the father of the faithful, a man of great faith, he had to grow to that point. He had to grow to that point. Sounds like us, right? You know, I was listening to Brother Israel Rodriguez. He was teaching a lesson. And he said something that caught my attention and just kind of made me back up a little bit. You know, we look at the characters in the scriptures, and sometimes if we're not careful, we don't get all of the point that God is making. These are individuals who are characters. They're people just like us. We have the faith to be in Christ. We have the faith to continue to do what is right. We know what is right, but we falter. We just don't have that faith that God wants us to have to go all the way sometimes. Abraham knew that Sarah, at this particular time, was going to be the mother who was going to bring in Isaac. He knew this. But for some reason, he just didn't have the faith to continue to do what he needed to do with Abimelech. "Is this your wife?" "Yes, it's my wife." Because that's the truth. It was his wife. And if he didn't know it was his wife, God knew it was his wife, because he said, "Your wife, Sarah, will be having Isaac." So there's something to keep in mind. We're going to bring up another point here in a few minutes. Look at Genesis 21. In Genesis 21, as we continue to think about Abraham going into the life of Isaac, hopefully we'll touch on Jacob just a little bit. Verse 1, Genesis 21. And the Lord visited Sarah, and he said, and the Lord did for Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age. If you look, I'll just put in your notes, you know, Romans chapter 4, that Abraham, by faith, went in unto his wife and was able to perform. And that's a very important point there, because God told him that Sarah was going to be the one that was going to be bringing forth your son. That's exactly what happened. God came through with his word. Sarah conceived. He now has a son. His name is called Isaac. Verse number 4. Then Abraham circumcised his son Isaac when he was 8 days old, as God had commanded him. Now Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. And Sarah said, God has made me laugh, and all who hear will laugh with me. She also said, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? For I have borne him a son in his old age. Now that's powerful. And the reason why is because God made a promise to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12 when it all began, brought him out of the Ur of Chaldees. You're going to have a son. He's going to be the son of promise, and all the nations of the earth are going to be blessed. Look into the heavens, look at the stars, and that's going to be your descendants. You're going to see too many to number. Powerful. But God had to get him to that point. We consider some of those things, and you think about when you first obeyed the gospel. Now, y'all go back with me in your own mind. Remember when you obeyed the gospel, you were baptized into Christ. You remember that, right? And think about where you are today. In retrospect to when you obeyed the gospel, where it all begun. All right? So here God brings Abraham out of the Ur of Chaldees. He crosses over, and next thing you know, and every time that God brings somebody over, it's always he brings them up out of and over some water somewhere. Water's always in the plan. Marshall Keeble said one time, water, 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 water. Something about that water. God loves water. But Abraham is growing. And friends, we have to see that as well, that we have to grow. So, okay, Isaac, that promised seed is now, he's here. And we see something that's interesting. Before we talk any further about this promised seed, I want us to take notice of some passages in the New Testament concerning Isaac. Concerning Isaac. Go to Romans 9. Romans 9, verses 6 through 9, we see something that is a very powerful point that the Apostle Paul makes in Romans chapter 9. As soon as I get out of Acts, I'll get to Romans. Starting at verse number 6. Remember, Isaac is the promised seed. Abraham has been waiting for this seed. Sarah, she laughed about having a son. Now the son is here. Notice some things that Paul has to say. Starting at verse number 6. Now as though the word of God had taken none effect, for they are not all Israel, which are Israel. Now, Paul is making a point here concerning the Jews. Neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. In Isaac. Now, it's interesting. Again, I've said this before, I'll say it again. The focal point was on Abraham. But the focal point was on Abraham having Isaac. Because Isaac was going to be the seed. He was going to be the one that was going to be coming out of the bowels of Abraham. That is, verse number 8, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God. Now that's a powerful point. The children of the flesh, he's bringing in the law of Moses, okay? The children of the flesh. But then notice, but the children of the promise are counted, your version may say four, the original say as the seed. For this is the word of promise. At this time will I call, and Sarah shall have a son. Going back to Genesis 21. Now, let's take this into consideration. You take the average Jew at this particular time, and their focal point, of course, was on Abraham, no doubt. But they were adhering to the law of Moses. Here, we find that Paul is bringing up Isaac, the promised seed. That if we're going to be identified with the promised seed, then it's not because of the law of Moses. It goes before the law of Moses. Look at Galatians chapter 4. In Galatians chapter 4, Paul brings up this point with the Galatian brethren. In Galatians chapter 4, let's start at verse 27. We'll read 27 and 28. For it is written, rejoice thou, barren that beareth not, break forth and cry, thou that travaileth not, for the desolate hath many more children than she which hath an husband. Now, here's the contrast we have between Sarah and Hagar. Okay? Now we, brethren, now, when I first read this, you know, I ran past we, but it's important that we get the we there. Okay? Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. Isaac was the seed of promise. He's saying we are the children of promise. Not Hagar, not Ishmael. You know, there's some that believe that they are children of God through Ishmael. But no, it's not of the flesh. It's not of the bondwoman, it's of the free woman. Isaac is very important. He is the seed. Abraham, of course, the father of faith, the father of the faithful. All right, let's go back to Genesis 22 and let's start piecing some of this together as it relates to the seed promise. When we consider Isaac, just a little bit of a character study, and I'm learning, and the more that I study, it seems as if I learn just a little bit more about who the God of heaven is. The God of heaven, when we consider his book, friends, is a God of character, God of morality. He's always wanted his people to live up to the standard that he has left. Hence, again, John 15, verses 7 through verse number 11. Our love for God is dependent upon how we keep his commandments. All right? In Genesis chapter 22, let's read some of this. This is Bible class. There's no need for us to rush through some of this, but let's look at some of this real quick. Verse 1, now it came to pass after these things that God test Abraham. Keep in mind, James chapter 1, verse 12 through verse number 14 in that area. One thing that God is not going to do is tempt men with sin. All right. God is light, in him there is no darkness at all. 1 John 1, 5. And Abraham said, here I am. Then he said, take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. Now it's interesting. Out of all of this time, he's waiting on this son. And now, Brother Ricky has to offer him up. He has to offer up his son. I mean, can you imagine that? But it's interesting that God did not ask him to do this until now. Do you think that if God would have asked him to do this 10 years earlier, he would have been able to do it? Think about this. Just a little while back, he was telling King Abimelech, this is my sister. It's interesting how God is able to grow us up when we submit ourselves to his will. Verse number 3. So Abraham rose early. Now notice the actions of faith. See, I mean, it's easy to just go straight to the episode of him raising up his knife and offering his son. And the very fact that I say offering his son, that is correct language according to what James says. But notice the actions of faith. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac, his son. And he split the wood, notice the actions of faith, for the burnt offering, and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. Notice, he's keeping his word. He's doing exactly what God has said. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, "Stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship." And notice the faith. We'll be back. You remember what the Hebrews writer brings up as it relates to Abraham having faith in God, verses 17 and following, because he knew that God could raise him up. He said, "I and the lad will return. We'll come back." Friends, this is not an easy task. Verse 6. So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac, his son. He took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, "My father." He said, "Here I am, my son." It's interesting that we have Abraham in verse number 1 listening to his father, and now we have Isaac in verse we have Abraham listening to his son in verse number 7, but we have Isaac listening to his son, listening to his father, Abraham. We have all of these things going on here, and notice what he says. Then he said, "Look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" And Abraham said, "My son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering." So the two of them went together. Then they came to the place of which God had told him. Notice that language. And Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order. And he bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham, Abraham, Abraham." He says, "Here I am." Go to the book of James real quick. James chapter 2. We talked about this on Sunday. I will not revisit the dichotomy between Romans 4 and James 2. But I want us to go ahead and make an insert right here from Genesis chapter 22. Look at verse number 21, James 2:21. "Was not Abraham our father justified by works when," notice the time word, "when he offered Isaac his son upon the altar, seeing thou how faith wrought with his works?" He was obedient. "And by works was faith made perfect." And this is important right here. "And the scripture was fulfilled." Hold on, Nate. I didn't know that he slew him. But according to what James says by inspiration, the scripture was fulfilled, saying Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. He offered his son upon the altar. He did what God wanted him to do. "Stop, Abraham. Now I know." What does this teach us? Before we go any further to Isaac, what does this teach us as people of faith? Real quick, what does this teach us?
How strong our faith needs to be.
It needs to develop, correct?
We will be tested too.
We will be tested. There's a difference between being tempted by evil and tested by God. What else?
He's not going to test us more than we're able to handle.
He's not going to put more on us. 1 Corinthians 10:13. That's good. What else?
We may not understand what he has in store, but we should still have faith in him.
We may not understand everything he has in store, but we should have faith in him. Amen. What else? Anyone else?
You know, Mike, the promises of God, that's really where Abraham is being tested here, and where he failed in chapter 20.
Yes.
Is one of the things I find that we don't put a lot of stock oftentimes in the promises of God and the implications that are associated with him. Every promise has an implication to it.
Yes.
And God's blessing upon us in keeping that promise and his protection in keeping that promise is one of those things. And so trusting in those promises means that I can be faithful regardless of the situation that is around me.
That's good.
God has promised.
That's right. And God keeps his promises. Anyone else before I make any other points? Notice what he says. Let's finish this up. The scripture was fulfilled, which said, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted, your version may say imputed, unto him for righteousness. That's two times. Before circumcision, Abram believed God. After circumcision, when it was time for him to slay his son, God imputed that unto him for righteousness. Now notice, and he was called the what, friends? You want to be a friend of God? Do what he says. It's that simple. It is that simple. Let's notice something real quick before we go back to Genesis. Because of the faith of Abraham, Isaac was faithful. Because of the faith of Isaac, Jacob was faithful. Take notice of Matthew 8, verse number 11. This is just an incidental point I want to make here. Okay? I just want to make this little quick point. Great faith, brethren, great faith. That's what we ought to have. That's what we ought to have. Verse number 11. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west and shall sit down with who? Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. Where? Notice the location. In the kingdom of heaven. Hold on. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, at the time in which Jesus said this, were dead. Look at Matthew 22, verse 32. Another quick incidental point that I want to make. And I believe that this goes with the faithfulness of Abraham, the faithfulness of Isaac. Matthew chapter 22 and verse number 32. Remember, as it relates to the Sadducees and how they did not believe in the resurrection. And notice what Jesus says about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He says, I am the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. They are alive right now. And friends, the reason why that is an important point is because these individuals, these men, are lifted up for us as people of great faith. And those who desire to be with God must demonstrate that type of faith. We must be a people of faith. All right? So, go back to, look at verse number 12. Verse 12 of Genesis 22. Verse 12 of Genesis 22. All right, this is after he says, here I am. And he said, do not lay your hand on the lad, or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. And Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. Abraham, God provides. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it for a burnt offering instead of his son. It's interesting that a ram was caught in the thicket and Abraham didn't have to offer his son. Yet God offered his son. God didn't stay his hand. And friends, we needed that. We needed Jesus Christ to go to the cross. I've been preparing some lessons for a meeting that I have to do, and it's on the cross of Christ. And I tell you, I haven't felt so down in so long after reading and studying about what Jesus had to go through. And I'm not even talking about the cross. I'm talking about the scourging, the ridicule, the being blamed, even though he was innocent. We have all these things that took place. And yet he had the mental and the physical capability to continue to walk up Golgotha's hill to Calvary. And God didn't stay his hand. As a matter of fact, as Jesus was taking on the sin of the world, 2 Corinthians 5:20 and 21, God was doing his will, reconciling the world to himself through his son. So he stayed Abraham's hand, yet God wouldn't stay his own hand. Friends, that makes me want to weep. It ought to make us want to weep. And I believe that the cross is designed to keep us palatable, to keep us humble and soft. And if we're not careful, this world can harden us. Do you think that Abraham actually just looked forward to doing this? It was his son. And God even said, take your son, your only son, whom you love, offer him.
Mike?
Yes.
He had to travel 3 days knowing that's where he was going to go.
Yes.
That was
tough. It's interesting. And keep in mind that this is a child, a son of his old age. And the older we get, the more tender we become, the more wisdom we attain, the more understanding we should get. We're not as tough as we used to be as relates to being all hard, because we learn. So it's just these things, we keep these things in mind. And friends, we're no different than these individuals. And that's why it's important for us, as Paul would say in Romans chapter 15, verse number 4, the things that are written aforetime are written for our learning. We, through patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have hope. We need to go back and we read these things and gain understanding and gain appreciation for what God has done. I spent a lot of time on that. Let's go ahead and finish it up. Let's go ahead and finish this up. Verse 14. And Abraham called the name of the place, "The Lord will provide." And it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord, it shall be provided. Then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time out of heaven and said, "By myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing, have not withheld your son, your only son. Blessings I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is on the seashore. And your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies. In your seed," going back to Genesis 12, "all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because you have what? You did what I said." Brethren, it's important that we do what God say. And when we do what God has said, He blesses us. The blessings are inside the obedience. That's where the blessing is. It's not outside. So as the people of God, we stay focused. We stay focused on what God has for us. And just as Abraham was faithful and obedient to the voice of God, what would that mean for us today? To the Word of God. I'm reminded of what God told Samuel in 1 Samuel 3 and verse number 21, when he gave him a command. The Bible says that not one word dropped to the ground. He did exactly what God said. And friends, that's what we ought to be doing. Notice verse 19. So Abraham returned to his young men. And they arose and went together to Beersheba, and Abraham dwelt at Beersheba. All right, let's go to Isaac. Sarah dies. That's a sad thing. And Abraham, he mourns his wife. But we learn something about Abraham. He's still being obedient to God. God tells Abraham, and we know that God tells Abraham what we're about to cover in chapter 24, because Abraham, in verse number 2, tells his oldest servant of the house, I need you to go get my son a wife, but do not go to the land of the Canaanites. Go back to my people. And it's interesting. In verse number 6, after his servant said about going to the land, going back to where they came from, Abraham said to him, beware that you do not take my son back there. The Lord God of heaven, who took me from my father's house, remember they were idolaters, Joshua 24 verse 2, and from the land of my family, and who spoke to me and swore to me, saying, to your descendants I will give this land, he will send his angel before you. And you shall take a wife for my son from there. God wanted to make sure that Isaac got a wife from his own people. It was important. Notice what he says. And if the woman will not follow you, then you will be released from the oath. Only do not take my son back there. So the servant put his hand under his thigh. This was a covenant that he made with Abraham. And Abraham made him make this covenant. It was important. Drop down to verse number 14 for time's sake. Now, let it be that the young woman to whom I say, please, let down your pitcher that I may drink. And she said, drink, and I will also give your camels a drink. Let her be the one you have appointed for your servant Isaac. And by this, I will know that you have shown kindness to my master. And it happened. Before he had finished speaking, that behold, Rebekah, who was born to Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, notice, came out with a pitcher on her shoulder. Now the woman was very beautiful to behold, a virgin. No man had known her. In my Bible, I have that's a key right there. And she went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up. The servant ran to meet her and said, please let me drink a little water from your pitcher. So she said, drink, my lord. Now, all these things are taking place because this is the way that God said it was going to happen. Don't have time to be looking into all of those. So what we're going to do is we're going to drop down to verse number 45. Verse 45 for time's sake. But before I had finished speaking in my heart, there was Rebekah coming out with a pitcher on her shoulder, and she went down to the well. So he's recounting these things that just took place. Drop down to verse number 47. Then I asked her, and she said, whose daughter are you? And she said, the daughter of Bethuel, Nahor's son, whom Milcah born to him. So I put the nose ring on her nose, the bracelet on her wrist, and I bowed my head and worshiped the Lord. And bless the Lord God of my master Abraham, who had led me in the way of truth. Hold on. Abraham, you sent your servant to go get Isaac a wife? Yeah, why? Because through your seed, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. It goes back to the promise. The promise is important. So we have this gracious attitude in verse number 53. We have God's will being done in verse number 55. In verse number 58, we find Rebecca saying, I'll go. Drop down to verse number 61. This is where it gets good. Then Rebecca and her maids arose, and they rode on the camel and followed the man. So the servant took Rebecca and departed. Listen to this. Isaac was a man of God. So Isaac came from the way of Beer, Laharoi. For he dwelt in the Negev, the south. And Isaac went out to what? To meditate in the field. Friends, how much time do we spend in meditation? The majority of the world spends time meditating on things they shouldn't be meditating on. This man was out in the field. He was meditating and lifted up his eyes. And here come Rebecca. She lifts up her eyes. She sees Isaac. She dismounts herself. Verse 65. And then notice, who is this man walking in the field to me, to meet us? She says, it's my master. Notice what she did. She veils herself. She covers herself. And notice, and the servant told Isaac all the things that he had done. Then Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent. Let's stop real quick. But she covers herself. You remember 1 Timothy 2 and verse number 9, where the Bible teaches us about women and how they ought to be in shamefacedness? It's the idea of blushing, bashful. Question. Are certain women today bashful? Are men today meditating on the word like they need to? There's some women today, and they've always been, but some women today that they're pretty, well, pretty aggressive, right, Nate? I mean, they're pretty aggressive. You know what, shamefaced? The Christian woman is, when a man comes, like, it's that shamefacedness. You know we ought to be teaching our daughters to be shamefaced? She veils herself. She realized, I'm going to be the wife of this man. This man lifts up his eyes. He sees her. She sees him. She covers herself. And the next thing you know, the master or the servant tells his master exactly what took place. And they go in and they consummate the marriage. That's the way it ought to be. Isaac was doing God's will. Friends, you have to be in the position where God can bless you. He was in that position. He was a man of prayer, a man of meditation. If you look at chapter 25, verse 20, about 40 years old, Isaac was when he took Rebekah as his wife. And if you look at verse number 25, 26, he's 60 years old, and now he finally has sons. 20 years of marriage before they have children. And Jacob and Esau, well, let's just say a little something about Jacob. Jacob's name means supplanter. He was a deceiver. And over a period of time, he bought his brother's birthright. We know how that came about. The next thing you know, he and his mother, Rebecca, come up with this plan, and, well, they cheat Esau again. But you remember when Jacob was wrestling with the angel of the Lord. And we know it's the angel of the Lord according to Hosea 12, verse 3 and 4. And the angel says to him, what is your name? He said, Jacob. You know, that's the first time he pretty much told the truth. Told his dad, my name's Esau. He lied to his dad. There's the bell. He lied to his dad. I mean, Esau. You don't feel like it. You sure they come back with that venison kind of quick? It's interesting that when Jacob was ready to tell the truth, God was ready to bless him. He said, your name will no longer be Jacob. Be Israel. It's interesting that when we're ready to do what is right, what is in store for us? Are you ready to do what is right? Maybe there's someone here. We're going to give the invitation later on. After the invitation. But just in case, be thinking about it. If you haven't been doing what is right, God wants you to do what is right. And it's always right to do what is right. God bless you.